Hello and welcome to CNN 10. I'm Coy. Happy to be here to help fuel your mind. Hope you had an awesome weekend. Maybe you caught some of the March Madness college hoops action. I'll be in Glendale, Arizona soon for the Final Four. This is the last week of March already, so let's keep it rolling. Our lead story of the day. Unfortunately, tragic news out of Russia over the weekend. The country is observing a national day of mourning as more than 130 people died and even more were injured after a terror attack at a concert hall near Moscow on Friday. Gunmen targeted concert goers and later set the popular concert venue Crocus City Hall on fire. ISIS claimed responsibility for this horrific attack. According to Russian state media TASS, four suspects that were part of the attack were captured in the Bryansk region, which is one of the regions that borders Ukraine. They were taken into custody and sent to Russia's investigative committee. Russian state media also reported that the suspects who were captured are considered as foreign citizens. Russian President Vladimir Putin addressed the nation and said the suspects were trying to escape to Ukraine, and Putin placed blame on Ukraine for taking some part in the terror attack. Ukraine vehemently denies any link to the attack. U.S. officials said they had warned Russia about the threat of ISIS attacking inside the country. Earlier in the month, the U.S. Embassy and Russia said they were monitoring reports of extremists with, quote, imminent plans to target large crowds in Moscow. Leaders from around the world have expressed their condolences on the attack, as this is considered the deadliest attack inside Russia in more than 20 years. We'll continue to keep an eye on this developing story as this investigation continues. Next up, have you ever heard the term e-waste? What is it? E-waste can be discarded cell phones, laptops, or really any other type of tech device that gets thrown away. And according to recent data reports, the amount of electronic waste is reaching staggering heights, so much so that the capacity for recycling simply isn't enough. There's growing concern over the potential environmental issues that might be caused if we don't find a sufficient way to combat these growing piles of e-waste. Many discarded electronics have been sent to developing countries in Africa, where they are being dismantled and parts of them are reused. Our Kim Brunhuber shows us what it's like in Ghana as they try to get this boom of e-waste under control.
These men in Ghana are rummaging through discarded electronics. Using screwdrivers and pliers, they break down computers and cell phones for any parts they can salvage. But this is just one electronic wasteland. An alarming new UN report says that since 2010, the amount of global e-waste has grown five times faster than it can be collected and recycled. According to the study, a record 62 million metric tons of e-waste was produced in 2022. That's an increase of 82% from 2010. And the world is on track to generate a whopping 82 million tons of e-waste in 2030. What's more, e-waste recycling only produces 1% of the rare earth elements needed to meet the current demand, which leaves the world highly dependent on just a few countries where rare earths are mined, including countries in Africa. The continent generates the lowest amount of e-waste, but recycling rates there are below 1%. A high-level official with the International Telecommunication Union says it's up to the manufacturers to make a difference by giving devices a longer life cycle. While some countries have implemented environmental regulations to tackle the problem, some are working on a more grassroots level. Places like the Fixing Factory in London are teaching consumers to make more sustainable choices.
We buy these things, and the first time they fail, we don't get them fixed. And we're trying to change that mindset. So when it fails, just think that's just a part of its life cycle. It's not the end of it. How can we get that going? How can we get it going a few more years?
10-second trivia. What is believed to be the most expensive object ever built? Shanghai Tower, International Space Station, Notre Dame Cathedral, Hong Kong International Airport. At a total cost of more than $100 billion, the ISS holds the record for most expensive object in history. We recently had the opportunity to speak with two astronauts who worked at the International Space Station, Dr. Peggy Whitson and John Schaffner. One of their main aims now is to inspire the next generation of astronauts. Mr. Schaffner started the International Space Art and Poetry Contest, and you can enter. Submit your space-themed art or poetry at spaceartcontest.com, and the lucky winners will see their masterpieces floating in space with astronauts. The submission deadline is April 5th, so get those wheels turning. We'd love nothing more than to share the story of a CNN 10 artist or poet gone galactic. Here's part of our chat with Dr. Whitson and Mr. Schaffner.
What is it like working in the International Space Station?
It's one of my favorite places. I'd love to go back all the time. It's a really cool laboratory in space. It's such a privilege to be able to work there and conduct research there.
It's the cool thing. It's like working in an office building. You'll pass someone in the hallway, and then you'll go to where you're working. You just work, and then you'll leave, and then you'll pass somebody else going in. But everybody's doing their thing. It was very comfortable.
And it's really cool because you're floating.
Will you fly over there and get me a battery and say, okay, I'll be right back.
Peggy, do you think it's important to inspire a next generation of astronauts?
I absolutely do. Both John and I were inspired by the Apollo era astronauts. And I think what's important about space now is it's really changing dramatically. You know, with more and more commercial companies out there now, there's just going to be so many avenues to get into space.
The International Space Art and Poetry Contest, what was the impetus for this?
In the fourth grade, I painted a picture of astronaut Ed White. He walked in space in that year, 1965. I just know there are other 10-year-olds out there today dreaming about space like I did. So let's give them a chance. We should have this thing where they can draw something and we'll show it in space. So that was the beginning of it.
Tell me about some of the parameters and some of the requirements for this contest.
We want original line art and or poetry, and it's about that question, what does it look like to live in space? So we have three student categories, 5 to 8, 9 to 13, and 14 to 18, plus a teacher's category. You know, the teachers can join in this year, make it competitive. Go through the website, spaceartcontest.com. All the rules are there and how to do it. It's real simple. You just upload it. Everyone should just get in and let their imagination soar. It's going to be beautiful.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, a doggone undisciplined dog named Buster who got busted for doing belly flops in the family pool again and again. And again, the Florida family swears that he's an otherwise obedient good boy, but this fur baby Buster just seems to have a serious weakness for pool time. Our Jeannie Mose has more.
Come here. Buster has made a splash on the internet.
Buster! Come here. Come here.
With his lovable disobedience.
Come here. Come here.
A Florida resident who can't seem to leave the pool.
Be a good boy. For once in your life.
Buster is only a bad dog when it comes to the pool.
He's not a rambunctious crazy dog, except for whenever he wants to get in the pool.
Jennifer Henry posted 10 futile efforts.
Hey, are you ready to come in?
To get Buster out of the pool so she and her husband could make it to a dinner reservation.
Hey, that's with my towel. Don't you dare, Buster.
But hey, at least he tends to bring the towel back out of the pool. It was only when her husband used his I mean business voice.
Let's go, come on.
That Buster and their 14-year-old dog Scooby headed for the house, though Buster contemplated taking one more dip.
No, sir. Buster, get over here now.
You'll notice both dogs disobey.
Come here. Come here.
But only Buster gets busted.
He's the instigator. Scooby does not get in unless Buster gets in first.
Jennifer has used a net to try and retrieve the retriever. When she's really serious, she uses his full name.
Buster, Buster Henry, Buster.
Buster's not being a good boy, but he's a good buoy. floating around like that? Perfection. Time to show some love now. How about the School of Astronaut John Schnaufner, who we just introduced you to during the show, Middlesboro Independent Schools in Kentucky. Shout out to you. And we love hearing that you're building a STEM lab and curriculum with the help of Mr. Schnaufner's donations and newly launched foundation, Rise Up. Go on and submit that space-themed art and poetry. Shoot for the stars. We will be back with you tomorrow. I'm Coy, and we are CNN 10.